Hello, and welcome to the recording for Sittingbourne Baptist Church Youth. This is the recording for The Way, which is the older teenagers. I hope you're well and that things are going well with you and you're able to go to school and do all the things that you need to do in good health. Right, before we get into the parable for the day, let us play our little game. I am thinking of a sport that you play. For 5 points, it's a game played by two people. For 4 points, in order to win, a person has to get at least 11 points and also be 2 points up from the loser. Hope that makes sense. For 3 points, you usually play a match of the best of five games. And for 2 points, you use a table, a ball, and bats to play this game. And for 1 point, this game is also called ping pong. Does that make it easier for you? I hope so. And if you guessed that it was table tennis, then you are correct. Right, so today we're continuing looking at the parables that Jesus taught us. And again, we're looking at only one parable, so it's not going to be a very, very long sort of study of this parable. This is the parable where you've got weeds that were sown among good plants. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and we're going to read two parts of it. I'm going to read verse 13 and verse 24 to 30. Then we'll read verse 36 to 43. Because there are eight parables that are about the kingdom of heaven. And this is one of them. And it's the only one that Jesus explains. And when we get to the end of the explanation, he just sort of has that idea that we will now understand everything that he has said, and I think we pretty much can really understand it from Jesus's explanation. But so reading from Matthew chapter 13 verse 24, Jesus told them this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this: a man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants grew and the heads of grain began to form, then the weeds showed up. The man's servant came to him and said, "Sir, it was good seed you sowed in your field. Where did the weeds come from?" "It was some enemy who did this," he answered. "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" they asked him. "No," he answered, "because as you gather the weeds, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds both grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds first, tie them in bundles and burn them, and then to gather in the wheat and put it in my barn." Right, if we now go to verse 36, when Jesus had left the crowd and gone indoors, his disciples came to him and said, "Tell us what the parable about the weeds in the field mean." Jesus answered, "The man who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the people who belong to the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. And the enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvest workers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered up and burnt in the fire, so the same thing will happen at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels to gather up out of his kingdom all those who cause people to sin and all those who do evil things, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will cry and gnash their teeth. Then God's people will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Listen then, if you have ears. Right, so that is the Bible reading. If we start looking at weeds, why do we not like weeds? Well, if you have a garden that is full of flowers and you have weeds in it, the weeds can stop the flowers looking so nice. So the weeds will be unsightly and make the garden look untidy. So we don't really like weeds when we are planting something serious. So if you're planting a crop, the weeds will fight the crops, the good plants, for nutrients in the soil. And also, sometimes the weeds grow faster than the crop. And so they are taller and they get more access to the sun. Because as they get taller, then the good crops don't get as much sun if they are smaller than the weeds. And so the weeds will grow better than the crop. So at times, the weeds could choke the crops and stop them growing as well as they could do. And that's why we don't like weeds. We don't like negativity. We don't like all of these things. So there are different ways of looking at this parable. And Jesus explains to us that the sower is himself, is the Son of Man, and that the field is not the church. Some people think it is the church and that there are good people and bad people in the church. Or some other people think that it's a person's heart that is the field. And so the good things, the good seeds will be the good things that the person thinks or feels or spends time on. And the best things will be things like sin that would come in. But in the explanation, Jesus makes it quite clear that the field is the world. And so the good seeds are people. They are good people. The weeds are bad people. And the enemy is the devil. And in the harvest, this is Jesus' second coming. And the harvesters are the angels. Now, we have to just really understand the fact that when Jesus comes back, on his second coming, there are going to be different things that happen to good people and bad people. The people that belong to Jesus and that have made that decision for Jesus to come into their lives and to rule and to reign and to be Lord of their lives, and the people that declare that Jesus is their Savior, good things will happen to those people. And the people that have been ignoring God's messages and have been doing evil things or sinful things or have been horrible to other people, have not been following the commandments, something different is going to happen to those people. We just have to get our heads around that God has set certain standards that he wants people to follow. And everybody gets the chance to make that choice. And the people that don't choose for God and that choose to live a life as if they made themselves and they created themselves and they ignore God, horrible things will happen to them. They will be going to hell. We cannot think that, oh yes, we're going to heaven, and that's the only place. We have to acknowledge that heaven is real. Heaven is as real as hell is real. And the devil is out there to try and trick us and to try and fool us into believing his lies. So we cannot just think, oh, heaven, 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 and then pretend that hell is not real and that hell is not populated by people. It is, unfortunately. And it's people that God gives every chance to make the right decisions, but they choose not to. If you're doing the best you can and you're trusting God and you're trusting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you'll be fine. God always gives us another chance. Always, always, always. So those are the characters and the positions that we have. And because it is so difficult for us to know who is good, you know, we might see somebody who seems to be doing all the right things and they seem to be like, they go to church, maybe they even pray out loud and they might take part in different parts of the church and they might sing in the choir or whatever. And they look like they're doing all the right things. And we would think, wow, that person is a really good Christian. But if they're doing it for selfish reasons, or they're doing it to be seen, or they're doing it for their own self-importance, and they're not really obeying God's commandments, then we could think they're a good Christian, but God would know that they're not. The Bible tells us that He's the one who's going to separate the good seeds from the weeds, because He will be able to tell the difference. We can't tell the difference. And we might see somebody with who looks bad, who looks like they're a sinner. Maybe they wear black emo type clothes, or maybe they have tattoos all over their bodies, but they might really have a good heart, or they, you know, something that we can't see. So they might really have good intentions, and maybe they just struggle with something or other. We cannot judge. It is not our position to judge who is good and who is bad. Just like God told the harvest, the workers in the field, that you cannot tell the difference between the good wheat and the weeds. So just leave everything as it is. Let people continue in the world. Let people continue the best that they can. And when the time is right, then the Son of Man, who can see deep into people's hearts, who can see what their intentions are, and who can see what people do in secret, He will be the one to decide who goes to heaven and who doesn't. We don't have to worry about that. It is not our business to worry about that or to try and work it out. God is the one who has that responsibility and that privilege when Jesus comes back. So because even when people look like they're doing good things, they might still have it, and they might still have bad intentions. And it might seem harsh that God has to make these judgments, but He's given people lots of warning. You know, everybody gets a chance to choose for God and to choose for Jesus to be their Savior. And if people make the wrong decision, or they think that they know better, then it's sort of fair enough, really, because God gives us every opportunity to sort ourselves out. And when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we're not necessarily talking of heaven as a place up in the sky or a place that we will go to when we die. Remember that when we're saying the Lord's Prayer, one of the lines is that, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in that way, we are saying we want our lives today, right now, to be like heaven. For God to be the ruler, the one in authority, and the one who decides things. That we want God to be the one who leads us, really, who guides us, who is the king of our lives. So the kingdom of heaven is where God reigns and where God is king. It's not necessarily talking about a place. So Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven, the place where where our hearts should be focused on, the life, our daily expression of the kingdom of heaven should be where we know that God is going to come and divide the good things and the bad things and make those decisions. And we join the kingdom of God of heaven when we put our trust in Jesus as our Savior. That's when we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And then, as I say, when we're praying for God to take control of our lives and we surrender everything to Him, then that is the kingdom of heaven. I just had a note here about when people have tried to separate believers from unbelievers in history. When we look at history and we look at how people have gone to different places with the best of intentions, you know, they want to spread the good news, or they want to convince people that they believe are unbelievers to follow God. Sometimes it hasn't ended very well. If you look at the Crusades that English people went on to try and convince people in different parts of the world to be Christians, there was the Spanish Inquisition, and all the time that Mary, Queen of Scots, was ruling and she was trying to persuade people to follow the Bible, all of that really ended up badly. And it shows that when people try to separate true believers from the world, it doesn't end well. Only God can do that. So this parable is really looking for each of us to look into our hearts and to examine ourselves and to see where we would fall in. What part of this parable can we take, and what can we learn from it? Apart from learning that we cannot separate good people from bad people, we also know that our actions are the ones that are going to be looked at, and our heart's intentions are going to be examined to determine whether God takes us to heaven or not. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6, it says, "If we obey God's commandments, then we are sure that we know Him. If we say that we know Him but do not obey His commandments, we are liars and there is no truth in us. But if we obey His word, we are the one whose love for God has really been made perfect. This is how we can be sure that we are in union with God. If we say that we remain in union with God, we should live just as Jesus did." So you can see immediately and quite easily how we can judge ourselves. Are we doing what God commands us to do? Are we living like Jesus lived? Jesus lives a life that didn't have lots of material things. He had the things he needed, but he didn't demand a lot. He just had the things that he needed. And he spent all of his time and energy in telling other people about God and healing them and providing for them. And that's what we should be doing. We should be focusing on our actions and ourselves and the things that we can do instead of looking around and judging other people. So that's what I've deemed we need to really focus on in this parable. We also need to make sure that we don't clog up our hearts with weeds, with things that are not good for us, things that take us away from Jesus. We need to fill our lives up with reading the Bible and listening carefully to what God tells us to do, so that if we have any extra time or time that is not being used up, then the things that we should be doing are the things that would help other people and help ourselves. I mean, sometimes we just need to rest and take time to focus on God.
where God is taking us. But, you know, we should really use our time well and use the time that we're here on earth well, so that we are doing the things that God commands us to do. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you found that interesting. I pray that God blesses you and keeps you and watches over you in everything that you're doing. Do take care, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.